In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, with Sally Goodwin from South Africa, Louise Reed from Ireland, as we talk about how to break through in healing and the power of God in this season. Welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. And today in the studio, it's a great day, my friends. We are joined by my favourite, one of your favourites, the prophet that is Louise Reed. How are you, Louise Reed?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Emma. Good to be here. Good to I be am back glad in Glasgow.
You have flown from the land of the Irish.
I flew all by myself.
All by yourself?
Yeah.
No, I hope there was an airplane involved.
Fluffed my wings. It's amazing the power that we're and the authority that we have these days.
And friends, you will know this voice from War Rooms if you follow some of our other broadcasts, but actually live in person, no longer standing on the shores of South Africa, but here with us is the prophet Sally Goodwin. I was going to call you. I wanted to call you Godwin, in a nod to previous British royalty, but
that's okay. Godwin, but it is Goodwin.
It is Goodwin. Yes. How are you, Sally?
I'm very well, thank you.
And just tell the listeners as they hear your South African accent, a little bit about you as we start. You're part of the GPA family.
Yes, my husband and I, Flynn, we lead GPA South Africa. Huge privilege. And we have a ministry there. We have a church without walls. I'll have to explain that. It's a whole thing. And I run a school of prophets in Cape Town. So we're both from Cape Town, born and bred. But we love to be in Scotland. We love to be in Scotland.
It's great. It's a great place.
It's
although
wonderful.
It's torrentially rained for days.
We used to rain in Cape Town.
Did we even notice?
Probably.
Yeah, we did a wee bit. Shopping.
No, because I put the settee, the cushions on my outdoor settees in hope. What stupidity in September in Scotland.
That was not discernment.
It lacked discernment. I don't know when they're ever going to be dry.
Yeah. Well, it's raining in Cape Town as well, so we feel very comfortable.
You feel very comfortable.
Yeah. It's not cold here at all.
What?
Not cold.
Literally.
No, it's fairly mild at the moment.
What?
No.
Literally, my fingers are like ice blocks.
No, we're not cold at all.
Is that a me issue?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
As
you get older, Emma, you won't have a difficulty with the cold.
Yes, no. Menopause is a thing. Just constantly hot, 24/7.
I have literally got my heated blanket out of my bed because it's September and I've already done several hot water bottles.
Oh, really?
And fluffy bed socks.
No. I was downstairs in your house and your husband looked at the temperatures in the house and said, I'll just turn up the heating in your bedroom. And I literally manhandled him to the ground. No, don't turn up the heat.
That's one of my, I don't want any of my guests to be chilly, cold.
Okay, well.
No, I'm often, when you're in that side of the house, because we've got it zoned, I often flick the heating on so that you're not cold.
Oh, you just be cold.
Well, I just never do that. You're hot all the time.
Well, I just never do that again.
Well, I wouldn't say never.
Just communicate in the spirit as to what temperature you need it to be.
Yeah. Thank you, Emma. You're very thoughtful.
Well, yeah. And the church without walls, it's not actually a building without walls.
No.
It's
conceptually a church without walls, yes. So we don't have a building. We rent a venue and we don't do church as normal because we don't like church as normal.
Now, all prophetic words that we brought to bring to this episode are out the window.
Oh, okay.
Well, because now you've just, it piqued our interest.
Yeah. Ah.
What is not normal?
So, okay, we don't do church on a Sunday purely because people's perception of church on a Sunday is church as per normal. Mm-hmm. We do much more community living. And at the moment, because of everything we have learned from Emma and GPA, we are focusing on worship, extravagant worship.
Wow.
Yeah. So I preach online twice a week. So my people can hear me preach online two mornings a week. So when we meet, we don't really focus on preaching. We focus on a word of the Lord, worshiping in that space, and then bringing whatever healing, deliverance, prophetic words the Spirit wants to bring.
I have to say, having been with your community and, we did life together, Dave and I had the privilege of being with you for a number of days, which is a real treat. Mm. And some of your community live on farms, as many do, and there's that rural vibe to it. Mm. And then there's the beauty of Cape Town as well. And there was always food.
Yes. Oh, yes. South Africans, everything in South Africa revolves around food. You don't do anything without food. It would be sacrilegious to do something without food.
It really is the common denominator, isn't it?
Yes, food. The table. Yes,
it's so important to eat together. I'm intrigued. Tell us a little bit just about the pushing in worship, and how does that look if you're, because I'm imagining you're not got a massive big band all plugged and wired and ready to go. No. I'm imagining it's raw and real.
Yes.
How does that look?
So most of us, I would say, in South Africa, in the typical churches we've frequented, we're very used to the three songs, you know.
This is the kind of
sound. Three fast, three slow.
The sort of half an hour, maybe 35 minutes of worship, which, you know, when you're looking at timings and endings and things, is understandable. But it doesn't give you an opportunity to really push in. So we don't have a worship band of any sort. We have a boombox, a big speaker, and we have a lot of Ali.
Because
she brings because she brings that warfaring spirit. And we are practicing more actions to the songs to get people into the actual, you know. In fact,
there's something we've learned very much about moving corporately together.
Yes, exactly.
And even if there's a rhythm that even alternating between your right and your left foot at the same time, simultaneous movement, actually you move somewhere together.
Absolutely.
Surprisingly.
Absolutely. And so there's all of those things, kind of the movements, and every time we meet, I challenge the people who are there to do something in worship that they've never done before.
Very good.
So we've had people twirling. One person wanted to try cartwheels, but the space wouldn't really accommodate it. I was a bit concerned about that. But I'm just encouraging them to step outside of their comfort zone and worship without any inhibitions, like David. To worship like David did before the throne of God. And then, because while you and your David were there, David said something about encouraging them to stretch their worship muscles, because that's what you need to do when you worship for longer than you're used to. So it's really, a lot of us have realized we need to get physically fitter.
Oh, how interesting.
To actually be able to do the movements and sing and do all those things, which is incredible, I think. And it's encouraging people to worship for longer, to do different things that you would never normally do in church, that are all very above board and nobody's taken their clothes off or anything like that. And just...
Wouldn't been the first place I would have gone, but thank you.
No, because one time when I was speaking about extravagant worship, somebody said, but just nobody take your clothes off.
Yeah.
And I was sort of, I thought that would have been a kind of an acceptable... I didn't ever think anyone would think that. Anyway... So we went there. It's okay. We sorted it all out.
Because however, I have been in a meeting where that did happen. Somebody, but it was a prophetic act they were doing. It was awkward. I'll just say that.
I have only ever seen it done under the power of a demonic influence.
Yes.
And it needed to be jumped on and covered, wrapped up and carried out.
I would. Yes, I'm not sure about that as a prophetic act.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? There's two things that you bring there that I think are vitally important in this concept of if we riff off what your church is called, the church without walls, which is a known concept within Western dynamics, a pushing into something without boundaries, in the best sense of that. Two things there. The health aspect is massive. Everywhere I look, people are wanting to get fit. They feel the pressure of society.
Yes.
They feel the stress of the spirit of the age. They feel the culture wars. They feel the spiritual warfare. They feel the civil war. They feel the political war, and so on, which we know is about to spill into a world war. Mm. And people want to have a physical robustness.
Yes.
Everywhere I look, let's take, whatever it is, whatever the latest supplement that, you know, floats your boat, for better, for worse. But they're very much, I think, a very healthy trajectory to hold your body in a well place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you are not, it is a word of the Lord for the season. Mm. Do what you can do. If you are listening to this and you feel the unction of the Spirit as I speak this, I bless you in the name of Jesus to find the momentum into wellness. Mm-hmm. We bless your sleep to restore.
Amen.
We bless your body to shed trauma.
Yes.
We bless your muscle mass to form, to be strong. We bless excess weight in the name of Jesus to come off your physical frame, that you might be able to be robust enough in the coming storms. Mm. So I think that's massively important right now. Second thing there is the extravagance of worship. Now, we don't want that to become a religion or a methodology.
No, definitely
but there
not.
Is something of the pushing in where my where I yield to his magisterial glory. It's not about soaking anymore.
No.
It's about the act of quite extreme, generous
pouring out,
pouring out before the Lord, which is part of this season.
Always felt that whatever the season is, that our worship has to, at some level, be the opposite. It has to go over and beyond and has to be more extreme.
Yes.
So if we're in a violent scenario or situation, our worship has to understand, has to be so full of the Prince of Peace, but that is a violence in itself. It has to go over and beyond, because if our worship does not contain something that is greater than our thought processes, than the season that we're in, than the subjects that we're thinking about, even what we're teaching out in the church, if our worship doesn't go beyond that with a revelation of who he is within that, well, then we're always on the back foot.
Yes,
I think that's
absolutely
really important. And Sally, handing it back to you to comment on what you've learned through it, I think in a societal movement of hate and hate speech and now this moving from social media civil war to actual realized civil war with guns and marches and knives, which is the shift of the next 6 months. And the violence is off the screen and into the streets in many of our Western contexts.
Yes.
It's very easy to get caught up in hate.
Yes.
And I think, or an othering of people,
absolutely,
or a suspicion, or a withholding of forgiveness, or the best thing would be you lot die, or you lot are punished, or the vengeance piece. I think the only way you can get that out of yourself is by extravagant worship. Listen to me right now. And this will need to be understood, my friends, that you can say, I release forgiveness, I bless you, and it do nothing because you are doing it in a trite or a slovenly or a sloppy way.
Yes.
Sometimes it is in the extravagance of the act of worship, of devotion to God.
Yes.
It is in that place that your insides get reorientated, because you start to see King Jesus for who he is. And you need worship to hold your heart in the right posture in extreme days. Know that you must bring a sacrifice of worship that is a restoration of your inner world. It is a medicine to you of a lifting up your hands in the sanctuary of an, oh, come, let us magnify the Lord together, so that you are not slimed with your own polarized hate speech that lives on the inside of you. Worship is a gift of restoration back into the mindset of your King in this epoch.
Yes. And I think that for so many years, we have thought that worship is about us. It's about how I feel in worship. And we meet on a Thursday evening. And so people have come from work, they've come from children, families, they have work the next day, they bring their kids have school the next day. And it's so easy to be, I'm tired, I've had a really bad day, you know, things are just difficult mm-hmm. right now. So I just need to sit and just receive. And it's that thing of, no, you need to worship the King. Mm-hmm. You need to push yes. beyond yourself and your tiredness and whatever's happening in your life and understand that you are now in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He deserves your worship mm-hmm. no matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's actually remembering it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's not about how we feel. It's actually about God and what He has done for us, and worshiping the Creator of the universe mm-hmm. without thought for anything that's happening in your life.
And in turn, that then resets
yes,
you.
Yes.
But you come
yes.
with a sacrifice of worship.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing that I would note about your community in Cape Town and GPA South Africa, Sally, is that you share, perhaps because of that trajectory of worship, you share perhaps one of the most remarkable corporate healing anointings.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, people yes. that I have ever seen.
Yes.
I know your husband, Flynn, is particularly, yes. as a hospital chaplain, yes. is particularly called for the ministry to the sick. And,
yes.
and he doesn't like massage them into the grave.
No.
He actually commands them out of their deathbeds.
Absolutely.
And the healing testimonies: motor neurons disease,
yes.
cancer,
yes.
Parkinson's, yes. epilepsy, is the yes. big heavy duty sicknesses. Mm. So when your community worship like that and they almost empty themselves, therefore, of their own hate,
yes.
their own othering, their own wrong tribal tendencies,
yes, yes.
in a nation that has its own polarization
absolutely,
issues.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The Lord seems to respond not just with a right-mindedness,
no.
but with a healing.
Yes.
And then, as you say, you all get healed. I
yes.
mean, literally,
yes.
you get healed.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Do you want to make comment on that?
Absolutely. Our venue where we meet is right in the middle of Long Street in Cape Town, which is party central, nightclubs, brothels, homeless people, refugees, immigrants, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And so we have had people wander up the stairs. It's upstairs. It used to be a nightclub. And so we have people wander up the stairs just to see what's going on and hearing the music and hearing the praise mm-hmm. and the worship. And we have had people coming up the stairs off the street and just sitting at the back in the worship being delivered with nobody doing anything to them,
yeah.
just being delivered. We have had people come up. I'm thinking of a specific man from Turkey. He came up the stairs and he had MS. And we said, well, what is going on? We said, no, we're meeting here. We worship Jesus. And he said, oh. And he said, okay, I'm going to go now. And then he said, you know, can you pray for me quickly? And mm-hmm. Flynn prayed for him and he was instantly healed. And he was getting on a plane back to Turkey the next day.
And you're talking about multiple sclerosis,
yes,
MS.
Yes, MS.
Uncurable,
yes,
untreatable.
Yes, he was instantly healed. And so we have this, and God moves people, physical healing, the most incredible physical healing, but not just physical healing, not to downplay it at all, but not just physical healing, trauma, healing from yeah. trauma, a deliverance, healing from emotional. I mean, you know, my husband, he's just
yeah.
one of the best at all of at any healing and things like that, but not this lengthy process of you have to go through, you know, hours mm-hmm. or weeks of, but just this where God just steps into the situation and just like that, you delivered, you healed, you're a whole new person. And that is something that we experience every single time we meet.
It's that interesting combination, I think, between putting Jesus in the right place in the scripture. Oh, let us magnify the Lord
yes.
together, you know, extol
yes.
his holy name.
Yes.
Those concepts of his greatness that put him in the place
yes.
where he does not require the sharing of glory, then we don't, because
yes.
he has been set in the right place.
Yes.
And the kind of cascade of that is fascinating.
Yes. Yes. And we don't do any form of othering. We have all different, we have different race groups, we have different people groups, we have different people who come, who are drawn into that space, and there is no othering. There is simply God loves you and he has something for you because otherwise you wouldn't be here. And it's just, but it comes out of that worship space.
Mm-hmm.
that because you don't have time to look at someone and think, oh, they're not like me. You, because you're so in your worship to the King, you just see the people that are made in his image and just haven't realized it yet. And so it's in a country, in a nation like South Africa, that is so torn apart in terms mm-hmm. of races and people groups, to be in a space where there is literally not a shred of that is just unbelievable.
Louise, it almost makes us want yes. to be rightly for a moment head bowed over what we've made worship in the church mm-hmm. because it has, although the lyrics have, you know, Jesus, we enthrone you, mm-hmm. but how we have done it has actually been a dethroning of Christ mm-hmm. and a robbing of his place. Mm-hmm. And once you rob him of his place,
yes.
then he doesn't have the freedom in the room to move.
No.
I just feel this sense of it's righteous jealousy mm-hmm. for the simplicity of what you're talking about, Sally. Mm-hmm. That really, when you focus on him and mm-hmm. him alone, mm-hmm. and that is the goal, and seeing him as the source and yes. really having him on his throne, King of Kings, yes. Lord of Lords.
Yes.
How really, when you seek the kingdom, everything else is added
yes,
on.
Yes, exactly.
And how we get yeah. so complex mm. about all the added on mm. things. Mm. But that right sense mm. of put him in his place, mm. make that your goal,
mm. yes.
And honouring him. Mm. And actually from there, when you get him, you get everything of the kingdom.
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because we're all looking for fresh revelation. Mm-hmm. We're looking for that, whether your prophet's bringing a word of the Lord mm. or whether you're an entrepreneur wanting a new business solution
yes.
or whether you're a family wanting a new strategy for wellness in your family.
Yes.
You're wanting to hear from the Lord afresh mm. almost constantly. And yet I actually think that the Lord does not put that fresh conception of what needs to come forth or gestates within us, the new, because we are so siloed away into our polarized state, and the stripping of all of that away when we have eyes only on
yes,
him.
Only for him. Yes.
And so that actually in worship, you find that worship becomes a place of conception,
absolutely.
A place of revelation, a place of strategy and solution,
mm-hmm.
because
absolutely.
He's given his place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we forget that we are part of a kingdom with a king.
Yes.
And we think that we're just in a church
yes.
waiting for the word and getting through worship, where the music just does, I mean, very definitely, there is a soothing component of worship. There's a familiarity
yes.
portion
yes.
to a tune that you know that has a soothing impact.
Yes.
But actually, almost the embarrassment when we think about it in our right mind, the embarrassment of a sitting in a seat or a sitting in a row and going through the motion, mm. even though it's doing something,
mm.
but in no way is it the fullness of what it's supposed to be mm. of not always exuberant. I'm not always talking about exuberant,
no.
but
no.
certainly even in passionate lament,
yes.
something comes forth.
Yes.
of putting him, King Jesus, in his
yes.
place.
I mean,
yes.
I don't think we say enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not go any further when we're together until we are wholehearted
mm.
and we really sense we have given the fullness mm. of ourselves
mm.
and we've touched into the fullness of him, so then we can move forward
yes.
in terms of what the word of the Lord is
yes.
or whether we need to preach or minister or
absolutely,
whatever.
Yes.
We're so accustomed to mm. doing things a certain way.
Yes.
And Sally, as I'm listening, I just feel for myself, probably Emma for you mm-hmm. as well, but for all our listeners, this is so permission giving
yes.
and it's so liberating that when we really do touch into his heart
yes.
and give ourselves wholly, then what happens is the kingdom is just poured out and expressed. And it's as simple as that. Yes,
I'm going to ask you, Sally, in a moment to share a couple more of the testimonies of what's come in those moments of the Church Without Walls, GPA, South Africa, with you and Flynn leading in that way, a couple of other miracles. As I just go back into David, King David, carrying the ark back to Jerusalem, the ark that it signifies the presence of God, and doing it wrong first time, we know it, he tries to move it at some speed. A hand is reached out, Uzzah's hand to steady it. He drops down dead. And David has to go back to rethink, how do I work with the presence of God? Because it cost him a life in a disrespectful way. And what he realizes that he goes six paces and then he sacrifices animals. And he learns that sacrifice and worship and the presence of God are inextricably linked at that point, and that you cannot do worship without sacrifice, and you cannot host the presence of God without worship and sacrifice together. And David learns this, and he learns, I think, as he journeys every six steps, it must have taken him an age.
I think they've worked out all how many steps, and I mean, can you imagine the mess.
The bloody mess of the sacrifice. So, I mean, it is shocking.
It really gives us this incredible image of lives poured out of a, quote, bloody mess, a real mess, plus the level of outpouring. And it had to be done correctly because the fear of the Lord was so present because of what had happened. I mean, interesting, when the Philistines were dealing with the ark, God never moved like that because they didn't know how you ought to deal with the presence of God.
Yes.
But when it came to the people of God,
they should have known.
They should have known better.
The whole sense of those three words, presence and worship and sacrifice, being tied together there in that David story. And the fact then that David seems to learn as he's getting closer to Jerusalem, oh my, I'm enjoying the presence of God and I'm seeing him more rightly. And it's at that point that he talks about becoming even more undignified than this and hits the cynicism of his wife, Michael, in that story. Michael, who rolls his eyes and David, who learns a greater joy of extravagance in worship and sacrifice and presence as he comes closer to his city, Jerusalem. I actually do think it is the place that will save us in terms of our own hardness of heart and polarization in the days ahead. Sally, tell us a couple more stories.
So when my team listen to this, I don't want them to think you made it sound all so easy, because there's obviously a level of warfare that we enter into. And also, I often find that the first sort of half an hour, I'm really just dealing with the spirit of religion. So we're singing songs that,
interesting,
that it's just the spirit of religion just is there, and I'm trying to get rid of it. And
can we say Selah? Aren't we all?
Yes, yes.
But
exactly.
Interestingly, you're actually giving us a time. It's taking you 30 minutes before that. Ugly,
I would say, yes, before this, before interest. It's gone.
Is it
completely
quicker? Is it getting quicker all the time?
So there is one song that we sing. I can't, you would have no context for it, because it's an Afrikaans sort of rap song.
Can you give us a wee?
It's a song by somebody called Neville D, and it's called Boom. And it's all,
we love it already.
It's in English and Afrikaans, but basically it's like rap, and he says, boom, here comes the Lord. Boom, but all in Afrikaans. It's the people.
Sing it to us in Africa.
I can't.
No. But what would it sound like in Africa?
Okay, so it goes, he goes, Netso, Netso, he come to here to there, Netso, Netso, but it's that rap kind of beat.
Yeah.
And I mean, my Afrikaans people are probably laughing hysterically at me because my Afrikaans is terrible. But that song is, it's so powerful, but the spirit of religion cannot stand it.
Ooh.
It's like the secret weapon the Holy Spirit has given me, because the youngsters who are there, I mean, we have quite a few youngsters, they love it. because it's like a, you know, it's a, they can vibe to it, they can move to it. It's like, and then they laugh at their parents because their parents are all also trying to move their bodies to it. But and so we start and and then the Holy Spirit will say, we need to sing that song. And every time I'm like, really, Lord, you know, because it's, but every time we do it, the spirit of religion cannot stand it. It's gone. And as soon as that happens, God just comes through. And then, like I say, people get delivered without us even praying for them. I mean, Flynn has prayed for someone's ears to open and they've opened. He's prayed for blind eyes to be healed and eyesight has been restored. He's prayed for dislocated joints and things, backache, coccyx, you know, your coccyx injuries. People have been healed. It's easy because we're sitting in front of the throne and we're acknowledging who God is.
I love it, Sally. I think it's that sense that once Jesus doesn't have to share his glory, he's very content to show his magisterial power in the midst of us. Mm. I've just actually been handed my able and amazing executive assistant's phone, and she's found Neville D, literally the letter D, and the Boom song. Let's see if we can get any of it.
The Lord knows how. There comes the Lord through. Just like that. Boom.
I don't know whether what our copyright is of it, but you can see that Louise and I might struggle with our dancing to that.
Speak for yourself, Emma. I was doing very well.
Come on, yes.
I was getting into that. I can feel my spirit being moved, is the issue. Now, lest anybody think that that's going to be universally appropriate, we need to do is find what irritates the religious spirit
in your area.
What irritates the religious spirit? Deal with it and keep dealing with it.
Exactly.
Until you break through.
And Suzanne says, because of course Afrikaans is close to Dutch and she's Dutch, part of it says Jesus is dangerous.
Yes. Yes.
That is a lyric we all need in our lives.
Yeah, he says
that's one for
Gevaarlik, which is dangerous, yeah.
Say it again in Afrikaans.
Gevaarlik.
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 Gevaarlik. Sounds like a village somewhere in the back of Ireland, actually. I think I've been there. Gevaarlik.
Gevaarlik. There we go. You've got it. Gevaarlik. Yes. Jesus is dangerous.
That is a brilliant line. Yeah. Now, you have a great line about that, Emma, that you preached out a few conferences ago.
It's funny,
about being dangerous to all other powers.
Yeah, the kingdom of God is revolutionary and dangerous to all other powers. It's funny how some sermons just catch hearts and people quote me the line from that sermon years later.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that's what it irritates the religious spirit is we don't like to think about Jesus as dangerous because we've been raised on this meek, mild, loving.
Despite growing up on C.S. Lewis and the Narnia stories, and despite being told, you know, in that very famous line where the children are talking and I think it's the beaver, bizarrely, Mr. Beaver, who says it to Lucy. I'm now pulling my Narnia memory back into place. You know, he's not safe, but he is good.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we should have understood that.
Absolutely.
So I hope, my friends, you have learned a lot and a lot to be thought about, particularly the cracking of the framework of religiosity and what is going to be medicine to all of our hearts and to see the kingdom of God break through in this day.
Amen.
Thank you, Louise. Thank you, Sally. We will see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.